morning, everyone. Before I start this morning, I want to give a preface to my message. The first is that you don't need to be told I'm African, do you? But what you need to be told is that much of my Africanness still dwells in me. So you will excuse me and bear with my African stories that I'll be sharing with you. And secondly, in Africa, we actually preach for 1 hour, 30 minutes. So I'll be learning here how to preach within 20, 25 minutes, God giving me grace. So please do bear with me. So with that, I want us to dive in to hear God's word. Last week, Pastor Emmy introduced our sermon series on the fruit of the Spirit. And you will recall that her text was taken from Galatians chapter 5. And at the end of the message, Pastor Emmy challenged us to what she called practice and prayer. Do you remember the practice she asked us to do within the week? To memorize the fruit of the Spirit. And if you did that, what are those fruits that Pastor Emmy asked us to memorize? That the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and faithfulness, self-control, and against such things there is no law. Thank you. You are good students. So today we want to zoom in on love. Love in an age of hate. Our text is taken from 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 to 11. May I please crave your indulgence to stand up for the reading of God's word. 1 John chapter 4, from verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. This is the word of the Lord. Please, you may be seated. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your word that you've given to us. By the proclamation of your word, you stand to walk in the affairs of men and your creation. So we pray that by the power of your Spirit, you will circumcise my weak lips to speak your holy word, circumcise our hearts to receive your word and to live it. We ask you this in your Son's name, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. How can followers of Jesus love in an age of hate? To respond to that question, I want to share a true short story. And as you can guess, it's from Africa. During the Rwandan genocide in 1994, Mrs. Adele Selfu, her husband was a pastor, and this man was hacked to death before her very own eyes, among about 45 other people in the basement of a Catholic church in Rwanda. Adele herself was left almost dead there for 3 days. The Rwandan genocide militia had struck Pastor Selfu severally and finally slit open his throat. While blood was gushing out, Pastor Selfu was praying for, not against, his killers. The story did not end there. Adele's body was still among the corpses lying in the site of the massacre. And those who came to bury the dead found that Adele still had pulse after 3 days. So she was taken to the hospital. It took about 3 years for her to recover. She surmounted the resentment, the anger, and gave herself finally serving in the prisons that the government has mapped out for keeping the genocide perpetrators. In her own words, in Adele's own words, she narrates what happened in an encounter she had while she was serving in one of the prisons that was very close to where she was living. And I want to read exactly Adele's words. She said, "One day, a young man named Louis fell at my feet. He was weeping and kissing my feet. And as I looked down at his face, I saw that he was the young man who rushed in with the machete and killed my husband. He was the young man who put this scar on my head. And he looked up at me and said, 'Adele, would you forgive me?' I pulled him up and embraced him, and I said, 'In the name of Jesus, I will forgive you.' I began studying the Bible with prisoners, and Louis came to the Bible studies. He made a decision that he would follow Jesus. And then, on the day of his baptism, he stood up and said, 'Adele, I brutally murdered your husband. I put knife mark, a machete scar on your head. Will you forgive me?' Before those prisoners, before he was baptized, I forgave him. Louis became a model prisoner. The grace of Christ was flowing through his life. After 3 years, the government let him out of prison for good behavior. But he had no place to live. And I said, 'Louis, you come, and I will adopt you as my son.'" That's Adele's selfless story. How can we love in an age of hate? I want to attempt to respond that question from the text we read in 1 John chapter 4. John's first epistle has two principal themes. The first theme, God is light. The second theme, God is love. But today we will focus primarily on the theme of love. And the way I want to address this is to first ask the question, what love are we talking about? And then I will also say, beware of the age of hate. And finally, how can we manifest this love? So first, what love are we talking about? In our text in 1 John, the term love is used in its noun and verbal forms 13 times. Certainly, love is a word that has become debased, overused, over and over again. We hear the expressions like, "I love my car," "I love Winston Salem Dash," you know, "I love the Wake Forest Demon Deacons," "I love the North Carolina Tar Heels," and for Uche, I would say, "I love Barcelona Football Club," "I love Man U, Manchester United." You will agree with me that indeed the English word love has often been debased and made light of. When a young man has an intense and short-lived passion for a young woman, an admiration for her, he will say, "I love her." In the entertainment industry, a lot of movies are made around the theme of love. And these have created a culture that makes us to lose the import and the weight of the meaning of love. In the New Testament Greek, three words are used for love: philia, storge, and agape. I don't need to talk more about that. But there is a third Greek word in pre-biblical literature that is also used for love, which is never mentioned in the New Testament, eros, from where we have words like erotic and things like that. So in this text we read in 1 John chapter 4, the word agape is used both its noun and its verbal forms. In the entire Greek New Testament, the word love, this word agape, is used to distinguish the God kind of love from all other kinds of love.
That's the love we are talking about. Agape is God's kind of love. It is defined in John as the giving up of one's life, the sacrifice for others. God, it's God's kind of love because it's totally self-giving. John said in 1 John 3:16, he said, "By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters." That's 1 John 3. It might help you to remember John chapter 3:16 as well, the most widely quoted, memorized verse of the Bible. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only and only Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but will have eternal life." The origin of this love we are talking about is God himself. In fact, in the text, it says God is love. Love is a predicate of God himself. It is what God or who God is. This kind of love is not earthly. It's not made in the USA. Neither is it made in China or made in the UK, Brazil, or Nigeria. No, agape is made in heaven. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 gives us a lot of insight of the character and the features of this love. It says love is patient and kind. Love does not envy. Love does not boast. It's not arrogant. It's not resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but it rejoices with the truth. Agape bears all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. In fact, it doesn't end. Love never fails. What sort of love are we talking about, brothers and sisters? It is love made in heaven. No human can possess this kind of love except it is produced in him or her by the Holy Spirit, who himself is part of the community of the divine. The Holy Spirit himself is the only one who can produce the love. We are talking about agape in a human being because he is from the community of the divine. He is the one who can implant and produce God's love in us. That's why it's called the fruit of the Spirit. What love could make Adele, whose husband was murdered before her very eyes, to take up the same murderer into her home, feed him, clothe him, more than that, adopt him to be her son? It is the love made in heaven. Do I manifest this love? Do you manifest this love? That should lead us to the next question. How can we manifest this love? But before we answer that second question, there is something diametrically opposite to that kind of love: hate. So we need to beware. We need to be aware and beware of hate. John admonishes God's children to embrace love and to avoid hatred. He points us the example and says we should not be like Cain, who murdered his brother. And later John said, "Everyone who hates his brother or sister is a murderer." And he said, "We know that no murderer has eternal life in him." So John continues to say, if anyone says that he loves God, whom he cannot see, he said that person is a liar. Say, how can you love God whom you cannot see, and then you hate your brother who you can see? So for those who want to have this love, we want to be aware that hatred is something that stays with us. Brethren, hate is earthly. It's human. It belongs to darkness. While love is from above, hate is from below. Hate is natural. It's natural to us humans. It seeks to defend itself. Hate fights for its own right. Hate is unkind. It's impatient. Hate rejoices when someone falls. Hate always wants to have its own way. In fact, hate is of our old nature. It's of the old Adam. And you know, Adam in Hebrew means earthling, from the ground, because the Lord made us from the ground. That is why the world lives in an age and era of hate. Do you need to look far to see it? Look at the politics in nations. You will see hate at work. Look at the mega issues of race, you know, class and ethnicity. You will see hate at work. Let's come closer. Look at someone who represents everything you despise. Look at the hate being manifested against Asians here in the United States. Those who show this kind of hate justify themselves by saying, yeah, because they are the ones that brought COVID-19. It came from them, from China. Indeed, we live in an age of hate, an age that commenced when we humans declared our independence from God at Eden. So in such an age, how ought we to live? How can we counter hate? You know, the only way to counter darkness is to do what? Is to bring in light. Similarly, the only way to counter hate is to get agape in the scene. But the question should be now, how can we obtain agape? How can we obtain love? So, John 3:16 tells us how. For God gives us an example. For God himself so loved the world that he gave his only son. In St. Paul's passage in Romans chapter 5, he points us how this can come. He says in Romans chapter 5, and I'll read that passage. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Hallelujah. So how can one obtain this made in heaven love? It begins by first trusting in Jesus' death and resurrection, surrendering our lives of hate to him, surrendering our Adam's life, our old nature to him, and allow him, he, the only one who manifested this kind of love in our here on earth, can come and indwell us and produce that by the power of his Spirit. When we give our old life and surrender to Jesus, the Holy Spirit will come in and indwell us and begin to crush Mr. Hate. We begin to produce the fresh produce, the fruit of love. In fact, God's love will be poured in our hearts. And I tell you, it's often in an increasing measure. It will not be a one-time event. God will keep on doing that, growing us from one degree of loving to another. That's exactly what the Holy Spirit did to Adele Selfu of Rwanda. When the Holy Spirit crushed the hate in her heart during the 3-year recovery period she had, she became self-giving. She began to manifest the made in heaven love. And she was giving herself to serve people in prison. And she met Louis. Let us pause here and ask ourselves, have you surrendered your life of hate to Jesus? As I said earlier, you don't need to do anything to have hate. All you need to do to have it is to be human. That's all. But the good news is that God in his mercy has come to us in his Son, Jesus Christ, and has made available the love made in heaven. He is ready to pour this love in your heart and in my heart. through the Holy Spirit's action. In our text chapter of 1 John chapter 4, verse 9 and 10, we see exactly the example that God himself gives us. He said, in this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his son, his only son, into the world so that we might live through him. Verse 10, in this is love, that we have loved God, but that in this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. These two verses are actually packed. But I want to draw only two things, two phrases there. That the made in heaven love is made manifest. That word manifest is the same word when Jesus talked about putting a lamp on a lampstand, not under a bed. See, the word is made manifest, disclosed, revealed. It's the same word when it talks about Jesus' resurrection, that Jesus appeared. He made himself to be seen by those who had faith in him, who had believed in him. It's the same word. So this love is made manifest among us. Hallelujah. It's made manifest among us. What does that entail? In fact, it is the same as John chapter 3, verse John 3:14, where the scripture says, the word became flesh. And what did he do? He dwelt among us. Eugene Peterson translates us in his own translation, the Message, and say, the word and became flesh and blood and moved into our neighborhood. I will always say, he became flesh and moved into our zip code. God himself set the pace by making manifest this made in heaven love in Christ Jesus our Lord. So we can actually manifest God's love when we draw to him. And the clue is given to us in verse 9, so that we might live through him. That's through Jesus Christ. So through Jesus, when we come to him, him who has lived in our zip code, he has experienced all that we experience. There is no pain that we can say that Jesus, there is no pain you are experiencing, there is no difficulty you are going through that you can say Jesus has not gone through. He has gone through. I remember when my wife, Dolapo, was pregnant of our first son. You know, it was so hard during the morning sickness. And one day she was praying. She said, Jesus, you don't know how I'm feeling. When you were here, you never was pregnant. You know, during her time of prayer, and the Lord started speaking to her, you yourself, you don't know what I went through. What I'm trying to say, brethren, is that there is no difficulty, no pain that we can go through on earth that Jesus himself did not go through. If he went through it, he lived in our neighborhood, in our zip code, he is able to implant in us that same grace of love. To conclude, I want us to turn our attention to what should be our practice and prayer. Pastor Amy asked us last week to do a practice and prayer. This week, I want to follow in her steps. And verse 11 of our passage is the practice I want to encourage us to engage in this week, which is, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And the practical way I want to encourage you to do that this week is grounded on this knowledge that God loves you, that God loves me. I want you to go through this week. Reflect. Who is that person who probably had hurt you, offended you, and grieved you? And each time you remember it, you know it's a pain. I want to encourage you to go to the Lord and say, Lord, please show me the hurt, the pain in my heart. And then ask the Lord to pour in your heart the grace of forgiveness. And make a decision to undertake one action of love towards that person. It might be somebody in your place of work, probably in your team. It can also be even in your family. Someone who has hurt you, offended you, grieved you. Will you promise the Lord, will you commit to it this week, that I want to discover how I could forgive that person? Ask the Lord, and I assure you, he's going to pour the love of his, that made in heaven love upon your heart by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we ask you to pour your grace into our hearts to forgive, to declare forgiveness and to love you the way you have loved us, and to love our brothers and sisters. We ask you, Lord Jesus, to replicate in us the same love you manifested here on earth when you lived in our zip code. Holy Spirit, we ask you to pour the made in heaven love in our hearts in an increasing measure. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. Amen.